First item, citizen comments. Citizen comments.
There you go.
Hearing none, we'll move on.
How you doing?
First order is approval of minutes from November 22nd, 2016. For approval.
So moved.
Second.
Second by Joel. All approve?
Aye.
All right.
Passes unanimously. We'll move to the next order, update on State Department and Administration Land Council.
Me. The Department Administration has a land council, which basically sets up initiatives for spending monies and funds that are tied to registered deeds recordings. And these initiatives are intended to help counties and their land records modernization plans and also the state. There was a survey that was sent out by the land council to kind of discuss what different kinds of programs they wanted to initiate. And the programs, you have this sheet right here. And initially, they had a plan that was set out saying, okay, we want to have parcels. That was our number one goal. The number two goal is an open data set. And the open data set is basically a sharing of data from local municipalities to the state. And the third set is doing the monumentation process, LIDAR, which is elevations and other features that are really great for planning, and ortho imagery. And then, of course, other layers, which are to be determined later on. Well, they sent this survey out, and they got some really hard pushback on it. Their northern counties kind of said, no, we don't like this plan you have here. We would like to change, and we want to, you know, kind of start from scratch. So the department administration said, okay, this is what we'll do. The first part, as far as the parcels are concerned, getting zoning information, parcel information, good. We want to leave that and keep that the way it is. Well, that's basically because all counties have that right now, and they're sending that information in. The open data, sharing of data, they want to completely eliminate that. They're saying, okay, we're not going to do that right now. We don't want to even touch this. And so that was their Department of Administration's response to that. And the third data set, as far as the LIDAR, the orthophotography were concerned, they had specifications on what type they wanted and also dates of how often they wanted to have it done. And the Department of Revenue, or Department of Administration, getting all this feedback, finally said, we have to reevaluate this. So basically, it backtracked on almost everything that they put out there. So in conclusion, they being the Department of Administration, said, you know what? We need to have counties concentrate on those efforts that they need to have most within their county, which is kind of a simple way of saying, do what you want. You know, we don't want to force you to do anything at all. And for us right now, that's the PLSS monumentation. We're updating that, getting that done. PLSS is a short way of saying surveying different kinds of monuments. Anyhow, what this really means for Kenosha County is that we've already done parcel, the set one, set two, and set three. We're finishing up, actually, the PLSS monumentation project. So when we get to a point in the future, looking at it almost like next year, we'll be able to do whatever we want as far as any kind of new projects. And it won't be any kind of state initiative saying, well, you need to do this in this period of time. It's one of the kind of things where Kenosha will be able to go and do what they want to best serve us and serve the community itself.
So how does this affect that statewide parcel map initiative?
The statewide parcel mapping initiative is still there. And the state is asking for still information that we have. They keep asking for more and more and more information. So as we progress and are able to create more layers, the state is then saying, okay, give us more, give us more, give us more. Well, that's great, except that Southeast can give a lot more because we have it.
Right.
But northern counties, they haven't got it, so they're not giving it to them. So they have a lot of holes in this great statewide map that they want. And also, the minute, you know as well as I do, the minute we give that information to them, it's obsolete.
Right.
They're creating a map which is great to look at, but I don't think it'll have a lot of use in the future.
I'm just concerned about all the money we're giving them.
Yeah, well.
We're giving them a lot of money.
Believe me, I think that's, you know, $7.
That $5.
Yep.
That we used to keep.
Yep. Actually, they're getting.
It's a lot of money.
They're getting $7 is what they're doing.
Right, they used to get two, now they're getting seven for each recording.
And for large counties like us, that's more or less taking the money and it's allocating to smaller counties.
Right.
And then in the end run, we get $40,000 back now, saying, okay, here's a grant for $40,000. You get that. But that's already money that was already paid in to the state.
We just gave you $150.
Yeah, exactly right, exactly right.
When is that going to end, Al? Is there a end date on that?
Nope.
No, there isn't?
That's legislated. No end date on that.
Governor changed his, that was the last budget when they took that. We had the $5 where we could collect an extra $5 recording fee to raise a pool of money for, so we could redact the records that are on the internet. And, you know, that made sense. And we used that money to get our records digitized and put on the internet. But there's, you know, there's always more work to do. And if the county had been allowed to keep that, we would be getting more work done. But the state took it for the statewide mapping initiative. And it's a lot of money. And, you know, I'd like to see, actually see something come from it rather than what you're describing. Is that they're really not.
Lot, you know, you know as well as I do, most of that funding goes to other counties to raise them up to $100,000 level. So if you don't collect $100,000 in fees in the county you are at, then you get subsidized for that extra amount to get that $100,000. And then you get a $40,000 grant on top of that, so.
Right, so they should be having requirements on what they're doing with that money for what the program was initially set up for.
And that's what the Department of Administration was getting here. They're trying to say, okay, you have to allocate money to these different projects. And they got so much pushback on it, so now they're reeling back and say, okay, you know what? Just take care of what you need to take care of.
We're giving them the money, they should take care of it.
I just report. And that's my report on that. I don't have anything else. Oh, I should say one more thing. The council, I was on that council, it was a 12-member panel, and I have resigned since. And there's a new person that's taken my place. That council will now be looking into developing a statewide repository. So all the information that we'll be able to generate and give to the state now will reside in one spot. So you'll be able to go in and start pulling that information out. That might help realtors quite a bit, because you'll be able to see sales that occurred in their different areas and be able to see, you know, what is selling in different places. So right now, that repository is scheduled to be with the Legislative Reference Bureau, which is kind of a non-state agency, so we won't have this thing kind of saying, well, it's mine, and we need to have it this way. And this repository, there's been a subcommittee that's been set up by the council, and they're going to do a lot of things as far as what kind of information needs to be sent, the format it needs to be sent in, the location of the repository, and also the costs that can be associated. So that's the next step that this council's taking. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Sure.
Any additional discussion on that? And moving on, we'll go to project status on 2016-2017 WLIP Strategic Initiative Grants. Mr. Yale?
Nope.
Who's this one?
Well, I'll start. I'll start. Okay, as part of the Wisconsin State Land Information Program, we've had two grants in the last 2 years, which we've spoken about in this meeting in the past. Each of those grants in 2016 and 2017 were in the amount of $50,000. And what we had decided to do was to update our mapping datum from NAD 27 to NAD 83. A lot of that work was undertaken by Rob Mary, our county surveyor, and he's here and he's going to give us an update on the status of each of those two projects for both the horizontal and vertical control.
All right, thanks. Basically, we were able to finish off the horizontal. Each one of you has a report that documents the process used and the the results of it. So I guess, you know, first things first. Back in August, we you know had the contract to commence in the the development of converting from the legacy NAD 27 to NAD 83-2011. We had kind of pilot programs that we initially developed, the procedures that would selectively observe, so it would substantially reduce the level of effort that was necessary to in making that conversion. So instead of observing each and every single corner again, this would be done selectively, and roughly about 10% of the corners were observed with NAD 83-2011. There's some figures in the back kind of indicating which corners were directly observed with the with NAD 83 positions. Inputting the 27 measurements, not the bearings, but the interior angle of each of the corners and the distances, I was able to have through a least squares adjustment, the ability to compute 83 positions on the remaining corners throughout Kenosha County. So that was the process. In addition, to verify that we did, that the methodology was proven, we observed an additional 10% of the corners throughout Kenosha County. And in that additional 10%, they were independent observations and independent of that least squares adjustment, and compared that against the computations. With that, the accuracy proved to be very, very good. The overall, the RMS of the, or the max error, the differences were roughly 0.2 of a foot in Northing and 0.2 of a foot in Easting. If you look at at the end of table 3, there's some statistics of each of those independent observations on the overall results of the independent observations. And statistically speaking, I was pleasantly surprised that we were getting 0.09 of a foot in RMSE in both Northing and Easting. That kind of demonstrates that actually the overall network accuracy of the legacy measurements was actually better than I had imagined. I will say there were a couple outliers that were, as county surveyor, will be addressing. When we made the independent observation, we found that it was off a the difference was almost a foot in Northing, and it was like, well, that's in. So we made some observations around next to that corner, and sure enough, those were fitting to within a 0.1 of a foot. So as we investigated the corner, it's actually sliding. It's actually sliding down the side of a hill, the embankment. So we're going to be in the process of using the legacy measurements to now relocate, back to the position where it should be at, and then make some enforcement, because it's on along a side of an embankment, a steep embankment, and this monument is actually sliding and tipping away from the from its true location, or from where it was originally set. And just also for you to know, we also worked with WSDOT, and WSDOT provided another, say, 50 corners that they had observed over the years, and those two were fitting to within a 0.1 of a foot. I didn't include that because I didn't want to to keep it apples to apples, that our process was done as outlined procedurally in Appendix 6, or Appendix C, sorry. But I did use those just to help, just to see if there was, as a, another test, that the network's integrity was actually, was as accurate as what I had originally, or what the results indicated. Once we had the adjustment completed, what we're also doing now today is that as part of Figure 4 is the dossier. You'll see the dossier now has results of the both that it'll have the legacy measurement and the legacy NAD 27 position, along with the NAD 83 2011 position. So it will have now dual coordinates established. We created a database, and what we mined was all the attribute data associated at the top. But yet we're still preserving the affidavit and the sketch, you know, from when the original survey or the verification, you know, the perpetuation had occurred. So we're in effect making, preserving that. So we're not detaching when that was originally, the witnesses and the coroner were originally established for that, you know, given location. But what we're also, with that database and having hyperlinks linking the sketch, but the attribute data, we will have a better way to help understand when those corners were actually, when they were set last. And we can start to make a in that mining, we can prioritize a review for corners that haven't maybe necessarily been to in, so you know, X amount of years. We can look to go back to investigate if there's a need for any corner maintenance in that, for that given corner. And lastly, we have placeholders for elevation data, and I'll talk about that next. But the placeholders that are in place for the elevation data, for those, for each of the corners, you know, in Kenosha County. And my last comment was, with horizontal, with regards to horizontal accuracy, you'll see that there's a third order class one, and then there's parentheses computed in that corner. That helps if there would be surveyors that found something that would be possibly inconsistent. And it's like anything, it's a least squares adjustment, and the adjustment results look great, but might not necessarily be in conformance, you know, for everything. So if there would be something that would be necessary, that would be an indication that if it was computed, there might be a difference or discrepancy with that given corner position. If that's the case, and if you do hear something, certainly let me know, and I'll be happy to investigate it, you know, further with our ops, you know, observing in and around that given corner. If it was directly observed and we did use it, it will have parentheses observed, and that will more than likely, based on the procedure, I would have some concerns on its position if somebody would dispute it based on the procedures that were laid out. But that would just help you understand that if it's observed, well, the likelihood of it being off would be less than if it was computed. The last was the computations of the control summary diagram. And that was separate. But we do have, I did bring one hard copy if anyone would be interested. our goal is to bring that digital. Right now, we're still trying to investigate the best way, best method to bring that digitally, both for the interior angles and the computed distances associated with each of the corners. You know, now bringing it to NAD 83 2011, but they're in PDF format as part of a disk that was provided, you know, to Kenosha County, and they will be subsequently brought online as it relates into a database. So we're trying to push to move data to a database, have a hard copy as a record, but bringing it more to a digital environment so that it can be better, you know, manipulated to find other attribute, you know, or be able to query more attribute information against it. So that's the horizontal. Any questions with regards to the horizontal network that's been completed?
Just so basically, you know, understanding, the coordinates we have are from 1926, and we're kind of moving them to 1983, and the reason for that is because the entire world is on 83, and Kenosha and the Southeast District is basically on the 1927
data. Okay. Yes, correct. And the other the tangible benefit is today the Wisconsin Department of Transportation has a very comprehensive network of what's called continuous operating reference stations, cores stations. And that enables surveyors and people who are in a GIS technicians to go out with the GPS receiver and immediately get positions very accurately in that NAD 83 2011 system. So it really marries up well with the practicing, you know, as far as surveyors and engineers and GIS professionals around. And it also relates to with GPS, it's like anything, you have them in the cars and you have them all over the place. It really, instead of allowing one to go from you can always relate to 27, but it has to be done by either transformation or some other mathematical means to try to conform to that legacy system. But with the fact that it is today with 83, now that we're on 83, it will easily relate immediately with the systems that are in place, you know, in the state at that point.
What do you think that percent of accuracy is with the computed one? Do you think like 99% of them are going to be within that tenth of a foot?
I would sit there and say that based on the results, I would say that I would venture to say 90, at least 90%. I would even probably say 90, you know, at around a tenth of a foot. You know, if you do the statistical testing and say, well, if it's an RMS at 95%, you multiply it by 1.96, and that would, so you would double it. So be roughly about 0.18, you know, would be at 95%. Now, realistically, I'm going to say that I don't know, that might be an optimistic number, but I do feel that the results of it were surprisingly better than I expected. I really thought I'd be struggling a lot more. I will say Racine was a lot more touchy. You know, that it was older and had some errors that looked like they were dealing with traversing, going back to as far as tangent or, you know, cosine sine tables, where I think somebody looked up the table and they transposed a number. Because it was almost an arc minute off, and you could almost see the traverse leg or the errors that had occurred, and it was almost like a traverse leg. You could see the difference, and it was off by a foot, and it was just, you know, stations connecting here, and you could just see it running up. So I had to go back in and button down those differences, you know, so that I would now conform to an 83 and it would be consistent throughout, not, you know, having these interdispersed, you know, differences, you know. So I had to do more adjusting and readjusting of both the legacy and the 83 network adjustment, whereas Kenosha was clean. I mean, it was nice. At first, because I had both Racine and Kenosha as one adjustment, and I had to bust that up, you know, because I felt that it was going to take me longer to. I was dealing with those issues, so I just kind of just made the call and just said, all right, well, let's just do Kenosha, get Kenosha done, and move on, because I know it was good and it was clean. So that was a great start, because Kenosha is the first county in the southeast to go from 27 to 83, and Racine just finished up. I'm currently working on Milwaukee as next, and then it will be Waukesha and Ozaukee and Walworth, you know, and Washington is doing, they're going to the full vote. They're doing and observing every corner, and we're in the process of making those observations. I don't see it a tangible. I see it, it's great, but the computed seems to be working just equally as well. So, just saying. Okay.
Just a question, yep, about this map. We're showing it not meeting standards.
That's correct.
There's only a few on there. What do you do to, is something being done to correct that, or what do you do?
Well, what we're doing is actually we're moving the monument. The monument is incorrect, not the measurement. So the measurements indicated that there's a question of location. That was what we investigated on for the one monument where it's sliding down the side, uh-huh, of the hill. So what we're going to do, so now what we understand that it's not in the measurements that indicated this error, it's the actual monument itself. So we're addressing those three corners separately, but it's not in the measurements, it's going to be in its actual absolute location. The true location is incorrect.
So my question kind of ties in with that. So there's gaps right in Sheridan Road area. Isn't that what we've kind of learned over the years, that there's been gaps in eagles and things? Would this help solve that or not?
Not necessarily.
No,
because those gaps would be tied back to the deeds that are recorded, and the gaps are discrepancies between the deeds.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Question, if with the new whatever they're shooting from now, if we had a piece of land surveyed 20 years ago and now they sell it and they have it resurveyed now, is that going to change where those stakes are?
No, no, absolutely not. The monuments stay in as the call of the location.
Okay.
So that doesn't change. The only thing that will change are the bearings. Because you're in a different state plane system that you're operating, and I'm going to say slightly, you're not going to see a tremendous amount, but you would see bearings changing, but the relationship, the distances and everything else would be within the tolerances that would be as prescribed, so it'd be negligible at that point in time. It's the bearings would be the bigger one, where you will see, like, if they held a section line, you might see a 6-second change in that bearing, because the 83 has a 6-second change in the in its between one quarter corner and the other. So because of the state plane position, you're 6 miles away from the planar projection that we're on. So by moving it 6 miles east, you are in effect, you're on a different plane. So that there will be a slight rotation as it relates to grid north. And in doing so, you'll see those slight variations in your bearings. So be aware of that, that will be coming.
So does that change, like, with how the legal description will read on that property?
It would, in the sense that you'll see, if the legal description, you should see in a plat of survey that it says all bearings are based on, say, NAD 83.
Yeah.
So you have to understand that the land ordinances will have to, if they say still that, in effect, you have to be in 27, well, then they would have to maintain still those positions. But if the land ordinances change and say, well, that 83 is acceptable or whatever it would be up to, you know, this person in charge, then you would have, you would have to be careful. You'd have to understand which system it's coming from so that it now backwards, it ties directly with what now that this 83 system dictates as far as for that given bearing that's been established between, you know, the given corners. So I think it'll make your life a little bit more difficult because you've got two systems that you're probably going to have to kind of contend with. And the monuments haven't physically changed, just the math associated with it for position. Okay. So that was, and then briefly for vertical. Vertical, we do have, we are starting to develop or get into the process. This process will be going in a leveling each height mod corner and tie, you know, and then using the reference benchmark next to or nearest a height mic corner, we'll be doing spirit leveling or digital leveling to establish a 29 elevation on the height mod, and then looking at comparing the NAVD 88 height mod orthometric height related to the new NGVD 29 elevation that we're going to establish from the vertical control surveys, you know, that are running from that reference benchmark to that corner, will develop a difference. And we're going to do that comprehensively over the region. This is going to be a region-wide initiative, not a county-wide initiative. But some of the leveling that will be done, we'll start that this year, but we want to do this comprehensively so we're not causing any kind of shelving between going to counties, and, you know, due to the, you know, any kind of inconsistencies in those differences. But everyone's on board. It's just we'll be starting that this year, and it will be sometime next year when we wrap things up, you know, as far as in that completion. But it'll be a giant difference model of between 29 and 88, and then that difference model will get applied to every corner, and those differences will be interpolated based on where you are positionally, and those differences will then be applied, and they'll fill in those spaces where each of the in the dossier sheets that would, you know, for elevation, and also to help a surveyor or to understand the relationship that was determined between 29 and 88. So whatever that difference might be, so that in the dossier you'll see a reference benchmark that'll still remain as NGVD 29, but there will be a value up top in the attributes of the dossier that says subtract or add this amount to get an 88 elevation. So to help aid in knowing what that difference is, because I know that some will always try. Well, this is a number that has tended to be reversed, where they should have been adding but they subtracted, or vice versa, and then now you're double the difference away. So this would, to me, just to help kind of provide some assistance in saying, do this, and hopefully that helps allow the user the ability to make the correct conversion, you know, to relate it to ADA.
So just for clarification, is this kind of like the issue that we're dealing with now with the 3 inches that has to be?
Bingo.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. If you, to get it to roughly, to get it to 88, you're roughly about 2/10 of a foot. Okay. Is kind of your standard stock rule of thumb in this area.
Okay.
As it relates. So. All right.
One question on the relocation of those monuments. Are you taking the vertical position into consideration as you're doing that too and recording that at the same time, or can you not do it the reset until you have all your math done? Or?
No. The vertical will still establish a 29 elevation. So the vertical will put a new vertical elevation. As we reset that monument and put it back in its real, you know, true location, we'll also establish a 29 elevation. What we will do when we go to the 88, it'll be a comprehensive readjust, you know, conversion, you know, to interpolate. So that'll be totally separate.
Not related.
Not related at this point in time.
Are the elevations on the cap?
Mm-hmm.
So that will.
You have to understand the cap, the elevations on the caps are. That one can be suspect always, but the goal is always to have each location have a what's called a reference benchmark. So it's on something that's very stable in structure. So it might be a chisel mark on a fire hydrant. It might be a railroad spike in a power pole at the base or in a tree. You know, something that is going to be long standing and have stability vertically. And that's what we're counting on, relying on when we start to make our level runs. We don't go from the corner or the elevation in the road just for the pure standpoint of the monument tends to move. And we want to really preserve whatever the elevation that was established. The elevation that was established is very accurate, very stable, and long-standing. And that when that difference is determined, it's going to be very accurate, representing the inside of the network, that's the 29 network that's in place.
Anything else on that item? Okay, moving on. Allocation of the 2018 WIP grant funds. Scott?
The Wisconsin Land Information Program is changing the grant allocation funds for 2018 through 2021. For 2016 and 2017, as we mentioned earlier, we were allotted $50,000 for strategic initiative grants. That is changing for 2018 and 2021 to $40,000. Because of our current 5-year cycle of collecting orthophotography through the Regional Planning Commission, we are asking for consideration to potentially use the 2018 strategic initiative funds for a orthophotography and oblique imagery project acquisition in 2018. This would piggyback upon what we have put in place starting in 2015. We have started some preliminary discussions with purchasing on what it would take to get an RFP out in that regard. And we are asking for your consideration in that regard.
We had talked a while back about the aerial images, and we were kind of going back and forth about which quality we were going to use. Did you make a decision on that? Do you remember? I mean, like the pixels and whether or not you're going to be able to get side views for the sheriff's department and backyards and all of that.
Yes.
Where do we end up with that?
For the 2015 project, we went with a 3-inch pixel program through pictometry. That is in place, and it is being used by law enforcement as we speak. And it is our hope going forward that we will maintain that standard and always have at least a 3-inch pixel imagery program going forward.
So is that what you're talking about now for next year? You want to do more flyovers or another flyover in the same area?
Correct. There'd be two pieces to the project again. There would be number one, an orthophotography project. So the orthos that you see on the interactive mapping mm-hmm. would be updated to spring of 2018, as well as new oblique photos that are available to many of our staff throughout the county. So those
are not available to the public. That's just available to the staff.
Correct. At this time, only available to select staff. Correct. So, and we would like to recapture that data. If we end up going with the same vendor, everything would be stored on the same cloud servers, and we would have a logical progression of data. So we would show the 2015 legacy data along with the 2018 data. And hopefully going forward, we'll have more going to the 2020 program as the Regional Planning Commission sponsors that program again. And into the future.
Now, how often do you anticipate doing these flyovers? Every 3 years, or you just because we have so much growth now, you want to do it again?
Because of the economic growth in the county right now, mm-hmm. We are finding a need to have this. We'd love to have it every year, but okay. funding is always the issue.
Right.
So, it would be great to have it every year, but if not, we're going to try or attempt to. Work with the idea that maybe we can get it once in between the five-year cycle at which the Regional Planning Commission sponsors the program.
Okay.
So, Scott, and isn't this 2018 one in conjunction with the Lake County?
This is not. That is a LIDAR project, which we'll talk about in a little while.
All right. Completely separate.
Sorry.
Just completely separate. Though.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
The orthophotography is you're shooting straight down, all you can see is the rooftops. And the obliques, you shoot at an angle, and you can actually take those and see what happens and rotate them 360 degrees if you want to. There is a bill up in the state legislature right now which is going to more or less stop assessors from being able to go into buildings and taking a look at what is inside of a home. And they're going to be looking at trying to, they being assessors, are probably going to want that oblique imagery so that at least they can see what's around the outside of a home if somebody's put a new deck on or if they've done something like that and if there's been any kind of changes that they can see. So I think the oblique photography is an important piece of this as this bill kind of goes through the legislature and it seems like it's going to be passed. So I just wanted to kind of bring that up as well. So
they're going to be eliminating an assessor's ability to even go in the step on the property?
That's kind of where it's headed, from what I understand.
How are you supposed to assess it if you can't
see it? You drive by and you take a look at it and you kind of say, okay,
that's
this is what
there.
We think. Yeah, we think this is here until it sells. And then when it sells, you know, I have a house for $100,000 and the home down the street sells for $400,000. And it's because they had all these different things, then my value is going to go up. So, you know, it's going to be kind of around that region.
You're like
thing.
A doomage for everybody.
You
right?
got it.
The
new
old doomage assessment.
You are 100% right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's what happens. So,
who's trying to pass that? For what reason?
It's privacy. It's kind of a...
There isn't a privacy. Everybody's got a camera.
I know.
They're goofy.
If you allow them in your house...
Yes, then it's okay. They are going to have
right. to there are times
you can,
when you want to
challenge
your house.
Assessment, yeah. and then they yeah. can come in and, I assume, look at the property and reassess it yeah. if you challenge it,
true.
And if the Board of Adjustments agrees with you.
Yeah. When you want to go sell your home, of course, you want to have them come in and take a look at it and say, okay, yeah, I got all this these improvements here. So my value is going to be more. That's why I need to hit the...
But the 10 years before that, you want
to... Yeah, exactly right.
I mean, there is a correlation, because if somebody says, you know, the value is $100,000, you're trying to sell it for $250,000.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give you $250,000 unless,
you know, you see what's going on with it. Yeah. I mean, I agree with you 100%. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you guys are both in the real estate field. You know this.
Just to give you an idea, the cost on a potential project. In 2015, the cost of that project were $140,000 for the county. This grant obviously is only for $40,000, so it would only cover a portion of that. And we don't have quotes yet on exactly what it will cost for 2018. It could come in lower, could come in higher. It's just unclear at this time.
As I recall, last time we did use the $50,000 for it as well. I think we did vote on using it for 2015, as I recall.
I can't remember for sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
That goes back to your comment, though. If we're donating money to the state to give it to somebody else, we need to talk to the representatives and senators there that are representing us to say,
exactly,
we need to carve out or something to be...
Because they're reducing the amount of money they're giving us, but then the money that we're giving them, they're not doing what they said they were going to be doing. That's what it sounds like to me. I mean, we're sending them
money. The county board needs to know kind of like a number, what we're giving and what we're getting back as far as grants.
I'll send you my revenue report.
We're sending it,
revenue report. If you look down at the bottom, there's a line for redaction, and it'll go back and it'll show you last year and the year before, zero. And then the 2 years before that, it'll show you, you know, $75,000-$80,000 each year. And if you look up at the money that I'm sending to the state for recording, it's going to go from $50,000 to $120,000, because that's where that money's gone. It's gone to the state. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
So you're saying we're sending $120,000 and getting $40,000 back?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Which is not.
Yeah.
That's something somebody needs to address.
I mean, you're talking about $150,000 to do what we need to do here, and we're getting $40,000 back.
Hmm.
But, you know, okay, so yeah, we're a bigger county, we're a richer county, we'll help the rest of the state, but they're not, you know, if they're not going to do it, what are they doing with the money? My question.
Because
I know if we kept that money, we'd be doing something with it. We'd be making good use of it.
It goes back to the thing. We know what we want to spend locally, keep it locally.
Right. What good an argument for me on that.
Scott, in 2015, was there any LIDAR done?
Not in Kenosha County.
Okay, there wasn't. Because then in 2010, we had LIDAR and aerials.
Correct.
And I think, wasn't that around 150?
That
was
around
250.
It was around 200.
250
total.
To do both.
Yeah.
Then.
I think what we're wondering right now is if we should be able to say we want to take that $40,000 and allocate that towards the aerial photography project for 2018, if it indeed, you know, comes to light that the county board would say, yeah, we'll accept that. So I think we would like
to make a motion.
Yeah, we'd like to have a motion probably made saying take the $40,000 from 2018 and apply it towards orthophotography project. If everybody's kind of in agreement that that might be a good project to send to.
I would hear a motion for that. Who would like to?
You making the motion now?
I'm not making the motion because
I'll make a motion.
I could, but I'm going to be retired. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll make a motion that we recommend to use the $40,000 funds for the 2018 aerial oblique program.
I'll second it.
Okay, motion made by Andy, seconded by Joe. Can I have a vote on who, yay to approve that?
Yay.
Yes.
All in favor?
Yay. Any no's?
Yay.
Okay. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Any other discussion on allocation of the funds? I guess we're done with that. Yeah. So moving on to discussion of Kenosha County Land Information officer position, I'm assuming this, because, Al, you just said you're going to be retiring.
I'm going to be retiring, yes. My last day has been kind of moved up. I had planned a 4th of July, but now it's going to be June 2nd. My wife had surgery, and she needs kind of more consistent help at home.
Did you say June 2nd?
June 2nd.
Oh,
good for you.
I know.
Yep. Thank you. I've been doing this for 37 years, so.
Yeah. We were not prepared for that, Al.
I wasn't prepared for my wife being on 12 weeks, too, I tell you. One of those kind of deals. So it's been moved up. And I think it is very important to have a land information officer to be able to handle some of these issues that come in. And we have the land modernization plan. That's land information officer has to do that. Distributing data to the Department of Administration, that's one of the functions land information officer needs to go through. Any kind of technological changes that happen. Again, land information officer can bring that to the land council here and get some recommendations on what they should do in the future. Need to go to regional meetings and also apply for grants. And I'm making my job sound kind of important, aren't I?
And, at least a lot of work.
Yeah. And also they have to, in June, there's a report that has to be done by the land information officer to the Department of Administration showing where all the funds that were collected, where they go to, how much is allocated in different areas, and it all needs to add up to the total amount that was taken. So that's kind of the responsibility of the land information officer. And I'm hoping that, you know, I think we have an individual that's going to be moving into the position. You know, Scott Schutze is going to be taking my job. And I'd like to have maybe a recommendation from this council. I know we cannot say, yes, this is going to be the person. It needs to go through the county board, and it also needs to go through the executive. So I'd just like to say, I'd like to have a motion, I guess, for a recommendation that Scott Schutze become the next land information officer.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Motion to recommend Scott Schutze.
Except
that was a little too fast.
Work that he just called off.
All in favor?
Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion passes.
Thank you very much.
Scott.
Thank you.
You knew about this, right?
I did.
Okay, good.
I wasn't expecting quite quick responses there.
The thing is, did someone else want it?
Hey, exactly.
There's something I don't know.
It does. It's a huge change.
Ooh, yeah, got that one off.
It was always a team effort. So that brings us to new business. Hey, new business.
I do have an item for new business, Mike. A project we're working on here at the county, and Andy alluded to it a bit earlier in this meeting, was our current LIDAR project. We last collected LIDAR data in 2010. LIDAR data is a laser pulse measurement of the Earth's surface from an airplane. It creates a very detailed picture of the Earth's surface for us and provides a lot of information about elevation. Our initial ideas on that project were to perhaps collect that data once every 10 years. However, within the last year, we have had a development that came to us through Northeast Illinois, of all places, as an opportunity to collect that data and get it updated here in the spring of 2018. And that opportunity was four Northeast Illinois counties going together on a LIDAR project and asking if we wanted to expand it into Kenosha County and also into Racine County. And they said, well, we're going to pay 40% of the cost of the land area in Kenosha County. So we felt we had to jump at that point. And even though we were originally looking to do so in 2020, it just made fiscal sense to attempt to collect this data in 2018 along with the Northeast Illinois counties. So we quickly got our ducks in a row, and we were able to obtain funding for that project.
And we piggybacked on to the NEIL 4, which is in Northeast Illinois counties. And we asked Rob Mary at the Regional Planning Commission to spearhead that project for us. Rob has a lot of experience with LIDAR based on his former employment with Aerometric out of Sheboygan. And perhaps Rob can give us a status on where we are in that project at this point.
All right, thanks. Basically, well, first off, you got the deal of the century too. So basically, in the, I think you mentioned, Andy, as far as before was saying over $200,000 for LIDAR and imagery last year. Well, the LIDAR, we were able to apply for a grant through USGS and also get further discounted for the collection. So 40% of the area was collected by just Illinois, the state of Illinois. In addition to the remaining 60%, 35% of it was, roughly 35% of it was paid by USGS. So instead of paying 200, or let's just cut it in half, say $100,000 to fly with LIDAR, I think it was $31,000 for the LIDAR to be acquired. So that being said, I mean, that was a substantial savings, you know, for Kenosha County. The other tangible benefit is when 2010, when the LIDAR was collected, you might have had 1 point per meter squared. So roughly in an area about yay big. And this year, there will be 8 points in that same area. So, and theoretically, if you wanted to push it, if there would be an interest, you could, there's buy-ups, but that would be secondary. But there would be actually 20 points in that same area, but they're thinning it out to being only 8 points. I think that's plenty good. I mean, it's, you're getting an 8 times more dense surface of what was done in 2010. So you'll start to see a lot of other features that might be supplementally collected thereafter for utilities and other applications where you might look at wire crossings and other, you know, things that might be of an interest, you know, that could be, that are in the LIDAR point cloud data itself that you could, you know, supplementally collect. So that said, I'm just, you know, just throwing some additional information out. The data was just collected a few weeks ago, so the county has been fully collected, so it's in the hands of the contractor as far as in the processing of this data, you know, data set. So the only unfortunate side of piggybacking with NEIL 4 is we're also, unfortunately, the last of the block areas to be delivered. So instead of, I'm trying to push to get it sooner, but it, instead of being at the top, we're kind of coming towards the back end, and that's going to come at a later date as in the prioritization of the data itself. So we would be looking at sometime probably next February as when we'll see the data to be that'll be the final data set. But I will say, I mean, it's for the ability to jump on board, that was fantastic for having a large area A collected by the state of Illinois and then also utilizing a grant for further assistance, you know, to be able to collect the area for such a discount at that point and have the level of density, you know, that you're getting that might be used, you know, for other resources tapping into it because of the amount of the level of density that's been collected. So it's been great. So
one question then, isn't that helpful then to have the aerial going on next year that'll be able to drape over that new LIDAR? Or would that not have mattered?
It doesn't necessarily have mattered, but it's nice to have some consistency knowing that those two data sets were collected very
almost
close.
The same, yeah.
At almost the same time. But they will be 1 year apart, and you know, it should be. I think we'll be okay going forward. We have different recommendations from the state in terms of how often these data sets should be collected. And if I recall correctly, Al, the for LIDAR, they're recommending, is it 8 years?
It was like 7 or 8 years, I think it was.
7 to 8 years.
Yeah.
So by collecting this data this spring, that will put us into 2024 before we need to look at that again.
One other question I just was wondering, because with the accuracy of this, to what extent would it take away from, like, if a developer is coming in to develop a piece of property, that they wouldn't actually have to be doing so much site surveying?
Personally, I mean, it depends on what the level of accuracy is needed. If you're looking for simple drainage and simple topology, then you wouldn't need additional pickup work at mm-hmm. that point, because it would characterize your topology right then and there. If you're trying to do like sewage and, you know, sewer and, you know, things that are much more precise that your calculations would require, then you would still have to.
But for site stormwater,
I would say it would be sufficient, because you're looking at simple, it's going to support a 1 foot contour.
Mm-hmm.
And I would even say probably it would be at or better than a 1 foot contour, you know, the level of accuracy, you know, that given the point density. So you're picking up all these small little changes in topology, and then the overall repeatability, the point on point, you know, basis, would probably demonstrate a better than a 1 foot accuracy. So if you're looking at, if say somebody's requesting that you're doing a 1 foot contour, well, it's apples to apples, so that would suffice. If you're doing something that you're trying to generate half foot or even less, you know, as far as for a DTM surface, then you would have to be in the field collecting it. So, but I would say that in 90% would, you'd be able to use the data as is, and you know, for general storm water, you know, as mm-hmm. far as management. So I know other counties utilize it for the storm water, designing bridges for Illinois DOT did a whole term of papers saying what it demonstrates on what it can do for you. And one was, you know, for upstream, downstream, for, you know, any kind of analysis for bridge, you know, for the bridge sizing and you know, just what the natural flow would require. They did any kind of, if you were doing historical underground mining, you know, that would manage, you know, any kind of depressions and things of that sort, you know, for contouring, to so there was mitigation or dropping. The big one here with bluff erosion. Now you have two data sets that you can manage and look to see if there's any kind of regression between, you know, 1 year, one collection to another collection, and look to see how that, you know, the sloughing is occurring, or the type of sloughing that's occurring, or the erosion along that given bluff, and start to better manage that because of the, you know, the two complete data sets of what's been collected. There's a lot of different, you can look at it, archaeological, you know, aspects too, for that matter, because you have small little changes in topology, you can pick up, you know, small little characteristics that might indicate, you know, some unique nature, you know, because of artifacts or things like that. I know I've dealt with, you know, burial mounds and things of that sort I've seen in the Southwest Wisconsin, along with in Northwest Illinois, where you saw these, you know, like bird effigies and things of that you would have not seen in normal mapping characteristics. So you have a lot of neat little things that you can pick up because of the subtleties of having a dense data set and showing these small little elevational changes that all of a sudden make sense when you look at it, when you peel away the natural grass or vegetation that might be around. So
I think we're extremely lucky because Rob is an expert in LiDAR to say that the least, and he has picked up a yeoman's share of all the work that's been done with this. And it said it was a fantastic deal. When you have Illinois paying for half of Kenosha to do something, I mean, that's like ridiculous. That doesn't happen. So, and he's done a great job getting the grants from the federal government, the USGS, and just been really, really helpful in moving this project along. So kudos to you guys.
Any other new business for discussion? Well, I know Marty wishes he could have been here. He's sorry that he couldn't make it. I hope I didn't.
He's probably on vacation.
But I hope I didn't screw the Robert's rules up too much while we went through the proceedings. So, Scott, thank you for joining us. Looking forward to future meetings with you. And Al. I really want to thank you for everything you've done for this committee and the excellent reports you brought for us and letting us know what's going on with everything. So thank you very much. So I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
Wait, who's seconded? Who's going?
Andy.
Take a vote in favor? Yeah.
If they had food, like they never do.
Yeah, if you want to just keep those. I was so provided. I was supposed to be on my.